We had this Saturday night card game, and your father sees this as our big chance to step up to the A-League. Connected or not, him, me, and Tony, we're gonna rob it. We thought your father lost the marble. But he said, fuck it.
Balls. What happened?
They took it down. They walked away with like 20 large.
Jesus Christ.
What do you mean they? You didn't go?
Please. I'm still sick over it. I caught the clap from some hippie broad I was fucking. My dick was dripping like a busted pipe. Anyways, the rest is history. Your father and Tony was on a fast track to being made, and I was still a little shit here like the two of you.
Welcome to the Sibling Sit Down, where brother and sister talk about the beloved New Jersey Mafia hit TV show, The Sopranos. I'm Sarah Stefanelli.
And I'm Joseph Stefanelli. We're going to be taking you through The Sopranos one episode at a time, one podcast episode at a time.
We will be discussing season 3, episode 12, Amor Fu. Is that right?
Yes.
And welcome back, Becca Riley. Hi, Becca.
Hi, everyone. And by everyone, I mean you two and the random listeners that are on here with
out
us.
There in the ether.
Not me, but yeah.
Welcome back. You did episode 9 of season 2?
Yes.
Thank you for coming back, Becca. It's so good to have you.
Very excited to be back. A little nervous that I won't be as good as the last time. I think I peaked, but we'll see.
You were texting me like, you better tell Joseph to watch out because I have stuff. You're going to be great.
I have some good things. I am excited about it, but.
Why do I have to watch out? I encourage it. I don't want to.
I know you do. I know you do. So, Joseph, would you like to read your episode summary to get us started?
I would. You ready?
Yes.
In the season 3 penultimate episode, tensions rise as characters grapple with relationships and choices. After an unusual occurrence at the Brooklyn Museum, Carmela seeks help from a priest and an OBGYN. Though she fears God is punishing her by giving her ovarian cancer, it's a simple thyroid issue. Meanwhile, Tony's affair with Gloria takes a very dark turn when she threatens the sanctity of his home. And in an attempt to carry on tradition, Jackie's heist of Ralphie's poker game results in chaos and casualties. Christopher wants revenge, but Tony's feelings are not yet revealed. This episode aired on May 13, 2001.
I disagree that Tony's feelings are not yet revealed.
Ooh.
I think it's very clear that he also doesn't want anything to happen to Jackie, but he has to make Ralphie. It's his choice. It has to be Ralphie's choice.
I disagree.
So do I.
Wow, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Wait, dive go in. Ahead. Get talk ahead. About it.
No. Well, for that, so kind of, it's kind of part of my theme analysis.
Okay.
But I also kind of want to hear Joe's first.
Who's so you want to save this sunshine, for that.
Who's labeled as Sunshine for listeners. He has made his name Sunshine for this recording.
Yes. Poor Sunshine.
So why would you name yourself Sunshine?
Because I just like that character. Because I'm the asshole that Dorna Heist would be quoting poetry.
That's accurate.
So.
That's accurate. Okay, so then let's dive into our favorite scene then.
No, I have a question first.
Oh, go.
So this is our third penultimate episode. We're three in. Is this the best one we've watched so far?
Can you remind me and our listeners what happened in the first and second ones?
Isabella is the first one where he sees the beautiful Isabella and she ends up being a figment of his imagination. And then Richie gets shot by Janice in season 2. Then there's this one. Now, I will say right away, I think we all agree that season 5 is the best penultimate episode, but we're not there yet. But is this the best one so far?
Oh, okay. So I'm torn. Isabella is an amazing episode. Don't get me wrong, but that's not the best one. I'm torn between this one and season 2's When Richie Got Shot.
Okay.
Can I think so. I think season 2 would have been less good if Livia was still here, because Janice killing Richie set her up to be Livia's replacement in Tony's brain for much of this. So like Gloria, Janice all have like Livia tendencies and kind of fill that character role. So I think her solidifying her role in the family by killing Richie and like kind of coming back into the fold has a bigger meaning to it than I think that was intended.
Interesting. Okay. So you think the absence of Livia made Janice, therefore Janice's storyline with Richie, therefore that being the best penultimate so far?
Wow. Yeah, Livia, let's be clear, Livia was there. She just wasn't as important as a main.
She wasn't the foil. She wasn't like Tony's foil anymore. But someone else had to step into that role, and Janice kind of took over that for a little bit. So I'm especially like
Proshai Lavushka.
Like all the beginning of this season, she's kind of that role. So I wonder if, but I do really like this episode. I think
I do too. Like
top 5 for me. I think it's up there.
The whole thing, like the whole 6 seasons. Wow,
I think it is too for me.
Okay, so guys, I have to admit something, and I feel really bad.
Say it.
And I feel like an idiot.
Say it.
The second time around, Pine Barrens like wasn't what I thought it was.
I told you.
Correct. Yeah.
But listen, it's still an amazing episode, and I definitely like it more than you do, Joseph. Like I still think it's my top 10. Like I love Pine Barrens. But knowing what was happening, it was just kind of the magic of it was lost because I knew it was gonna happen. And then I watched this episode maybe 2 days later. And I went, oh, wow. Like, I enjoyed my time watching this so much more.
I can repeat watch this episode. I don't think I would repeat watch Pine Barrens.
Correct.
Okay, I would repeat watch Pine Barrens. I'm not going to go that far.
No, but, like, if you were to say, like, you have an hour before you go somewhere or whatever and you're just going to throw an episode on, I would throw this episode on before I threw Pine Barrens on.
Okay. Okay, yes. Well, now I think I learned that I would do that. I would throw this one on.
Mm-hmm.
So for this episode, what is our favorite scene?
Mine was the opening scene to like in a weird way. So I have I love museums. I love learning about art history and all that. And so I saw so much in that first scene, which is when I texted Sarah, like, Joseph should get ready. Within 2 minutes, like there, you are exposed to so much symbolism and so much backstory. Mm-hmm. It really just like sets up Carmela's, basically her entire character arc is like in that first scene. So I really, really like it. And we can get into that, but that's my favorite.
And for an episode that's so full of art, it really sets your brain into like, don't stop paying attention to the art. There's so much artwork throughout the episode that it was nice. But while we're on this, I actually want to apologize to the listeners. I made a huge mistake a few episodes ago. Carmela says she shouldn't be spending time with Jackie. She should be going to the Museum of Modern Art. And I said that was a cannoli. And while maybe it is a little bit because they're in a museum, this isn't the Museum of Modern Art. This is the Brooklyn Museum, which I've never been to, but it's quite lovely.
Okay, I've never been either. And I thought in my head, I should go there one day. It looks really nice. Have you ever been, Becca?
You know, I can't say I've ever been. And I am a very big museum fan, so I'm surprised I haven't either. But also then there's an inconsistency because I don't think I realized that it wasn't MoMA because the painting that they're standing in front of is in the MoMA. So like,
no, that, I love that.
So I think it, let me, I gotta like, I'm pretty sure it's Giuseppe de Ribera's painting. Also, Meadow misnames it. Like she says the wrong title for it. But that's in MoMA. So I wrote all my notes saying that they were there because I didn't pick up that they were in Brooklyn.
Oh.
Becca, next time you're in the city, we're going to go to the Brooklyn Museum and we're going to enjoy our night.
Great
day.
I love whatever. Brooklyn.
Yeah, let's do it. Okay. My favorite scene is Ralphie talking about the card game with Jackie and Dino. His friend's Dino. Mm-hmm. Okay. Just you're kind of sitting there like, why, Ralphie? Why are you doing this? And it's just so cringy. And you know exactly what's going to happen. And it's just my favorite scene because I think Ralphie kind of just clearly just sets them up for failure. It makes me wonder, it makes me wonder if Ralphie even likes Jackie. Like, is he trying to get rid of Jackie?
I think he is.
That's fucked up.
That's an interesting theory. I don't see it that way, but I buy it.
Well, that's
like, get the kid out of the way. I want it. Like, okay. So this ties into a question I have. Rosalie's wearing an engagement ring when she's crying and hugs Ralphie. Like, is Ralphie trying to get rid of her son so he doesn't have to like deal with being a stepdad?
I don't know the motive behind it, but when Tony and him are talking at the end and Tony is basically telling him to make a decision, whatever. I think so the way Tony starts one of the lines, and I might have it in my notes here, but he basically was like complimenting him for, you know, you did the best you could, mm-hmm. didn't you? Like, I think Tony is also picking up that there's at least an animosity between the two of them. And so that's why Tony's kind of pushing it on him to make the decision, because he knows what decision he's going to make.
Oh, I think that Tony told Christopher off pretty much, right? He like went after Christopher saying, you know, Christopher's telling Tony, you have to do this. He went after two made men. And Tony's like, back off. I can do whatever I want. But Tony knows that if he doesn't go after Jackie, it's going to make him look like a weak boss. So I think it's his way of actually setting Ralphie up to make the decision. And he still doesn't want him to go after Jackie. But I know you two think it's the opposite. He's kind of saying it has to be your choice. And I think you're going to go after Jackie.
Interesting. Yeah. So my read of it was, when Tony knows what he wants to happen, he reverse psychologies people. Like, I don't have a direct example in my head, but he does this often. Like, he'll start asking questions, or he kind of did it with Carmela at the table. Like, who's calling? Oh, she's like about the Globe, Gloria calling from the Globe, like kind of reverse psychologies into giving her more information than he said about the phone call. But anyway, so he lets Ralphie talk first. He sits down. He doesn't say anything. He puts everything down. They sit down. It's very silent. Ralphie's talking first. I think Tony's also trying to take some of the blame away because he did promise Jackie Sr. that he would watch out for Jackie Jr. Mm-hmm. So, like, if it's Ralphie's decision, quote unquote, then he's not to blame. So he's shifting his blame to Ralphie and knows that Ralphie's going to choose to kill him. So.
Okay. I read it differently, but it is both, I think, fair.
Yeah.
Another thing about that scene is, while I don't know if it's a direct allusion to a certain work of art, it's shot like a work of art. There's a moment where it pans on them sitting at the table looking at each other. And actually, there's a what looks almost like the shape of a fish behind them, which we know sleeps with the fishes, kind of, you know, pussy, the whole thing. And it's almost like Jesus fish-ish, kind of that look.
Okay.
And I swear it looks like a religious picture of some kind that could be in a museum.
In a museum. I love that. I didn't notice the art, but it's did stunning. Think in my head it was a beautiful shot. I didn't connect it to the art. Nice.
So my favorite scene, I have two, but I'll give you my first. My close second is Tony's final confrontation with Gloria, which I'm shocked neither one of you said.
Because it's so uncomfortable to watch. This is the feminine and masculine in the room here. Like, I don't like watching that scene. It's very scary.
I don't either.
Is it worse than Ralphie beating Tracy to death? Because I definitely thought about.
Yes, because Ralphie's not a sympathetic character. Tony is a sympathetic character. So we've seen Tony do bad things to bad people, and we can get behind it. And that was the whole point of kind of the show, is like, the anti-hero, but you still feel things for Tony. And so the fact that he was doing it, like I wrote in my notes, when he first hits Gloria, I was like, that was aggressive. It like almost comes out of nowhere. Like it he threatens it earlier with the arena callback and how I hit her hard, like whatever, she didn't do it.
That she smiles about.
Well, that's a thing. That's a good symbolism there too for this whole thing. Yeah, I think the hit comes out of nowhere and it just escalates so aggressively. Like he was going to kill her. And I think because we are sympathetic to Tony, that it's harder for us to watch that because it's not to further any plot. It's not to like, it's not a made man. It's not someone who's in the army or in the war that he's a part of. It is a bystander that is going to be killed for no reason. Yeah. Who has mental problems and is mentally unstable. So like not great.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting that there's a shout out to West Side Story in this episode, even though it's humorous, because his attack of her, throwing her against the wall and then throwing her on the floor, is almost Jerome Robbins fight choreography. Like it's almost elegant, like a ballet, the way he does it.
Wait, remind me what the reference to West Side Story is.
He says to Melfi, the reason I like Gloria is because she's Italian. Stick to your own kind.
Oh, and then
and her answer is, what is this, West Side Story
now? Yeah, yeah.
But then that happens. It is the most obviously choreographed fight moment, but it's also one of the worst, I think, physical moments of the series. Him throwing her like that.
Yeah, it's tough.
Definitely the most violent we've seen him.
Brutish. You know, Tony's a big guy and he always takes up a lot of space. He breathes heavy. He's like a strong guy, like works out. I don't think we've seen him work out in like two seasons, but he like is a big guy. But we see him as almost like not teddy bear, but like he's a bad dude, but like he only does bad things to bad people. And this is like, she is so small. She just gets flung.
She's so like, tiny.
It is a very like stark comparison to other like violence that he's had in the show.
And I think it also is a callback, and I'm sure that Tim Van Patten, who directed the episode, had this conversation with James Gandolfini. It was a callback to his role in True Romance. Have you ever seen True Romance?
No.
It was written by Quentin Tarantino, but there's a scene where James Gandolfini plays a thug who, when I say he beats the hell out of Patricia Arquette, it is the most violent, awful beating of a woman I've ever seen taped on screen.
Whoa.
And in that scene, Patricia Arquette tries to use a corkscrew as a weapon. So does Gloria.
Oh, interesting.
And she pulls that so quick out of that bottle. That was,
she's ready.
That was, whew, that
she's
was
ready.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a stretch. Go on this journey with me. Are we ready?
I'm on it. Yeah.
Okay. So we just drew a parallel to Ralphie killing Tracy, to this scene of Tony beating up her. And Becca, you saying that she's so small and he just throws her around like a rag doll. And then we've tied into Tracy's tie to Ragdoll in the past. Is that a stretch?
I mean, no. It was a curve in the road, but I went with it.
You came with me.
So I'm going to kind of continue that you're right, because I do think this episode repeats things from previous things. So I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say this was intentionally supposed to mirror Ralphie and Tracy, because I would say the Jackie and Dino plotline actually mirrors Bevilacqua and Gizmonte.
It's which the same thing. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, which, and, by the
and
way,
it's Christopher and Brendan.
Brendan.
What's so his name? Brendan Cologne, which is so weird because that was the episode I was on. So I'm like rewatching this with that same lens of like, oh, I'm going to be on the podcast for it. I'm like, am I drawing these comparisons because I did this for the last episode, or is this?
No, we're being meta right now by having you meta. On.
I don't think your comparison is a stretch, because I do think this episode is kind of the like apex of the last three seasons coming together. Yeah. It's the kind of the penultimate of Gloria, of Jackie, of all these like sub plot lines that have kind of happened before. It's that turn from season three to season four, which is the like, I know in like big picture, most people say like four through six are like the dark seasons. Like,
yeah,
it's different tonally. And I think this episode is that perfect, like, whoop, like switch over the hill. Mm-hmm. So it's a good comparison back to other plot lines that have happened. Like, remember how terrible this actually could be. Like, remember all this stuff that's happened
in the past. It's gonna get worse.
Get worse. Like, here's your push into 4, 5, 6.
I love it.
I like your stretch because I didn't pick up on that, but I was already making kind of those connections going forward. So it's cool.
But again, my favorite scene, and another one I'm shocked neither of you mentioned, is the Gloria driving Carmella home.
I do like, I mean,
those two in the car. And one of the best parts of it is when she goes, thank you. And the first thing Gloria says to her is, don't believe it. And it furthers the line is, don't believe it. Everyone's a potential sale. But she's literally telling her, don't believe it. Mm. I'm not being nice to you. You're an asshole with your gaudy fucking ring.
The thing she says to Carmella. I mean, Carmella just gets, I think it's a motif of Carmella being told over and over again that she's kind of useless and just uses Tony's money to live. And it's Meadow makes the joke in the beginning in your favorite scene, Becca, when Meadow looks at the painting and says, this is just a rich merchant's wife.
Imagine having your portrait in a museum like this.
She's just the wife of some rich merchant, Mom. That's how Rubens made his money.
Well, okay, well, so was your mom, essentially. And Gloria says, I forget what she exactly says, but she kind of digs on Carmella. And the priest kind of says it too. Say that again, Becca?
You must keep a nice house.
Yeah. Oh. It's a good scene, Joseph. I'll give it to you.
But I also love Carmella's need for attention. Like, my daughter goes to college. Oh,
dying awkward for silence. Gloria to ask what college. Oh my god.
A broadcast?
A broadcast.
Yeah, that's funny.
No, it's in the Ivy Leagues.
No, it's in the Ivy Leagues. Have you ever heard of it? Gloria's like, yeah, you idiot. I was kidding.
That's just an incredible, incredible moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And then also just like, because how I watch things is I like look at shots, and you were talking about before with like the art behind. So that one, them being in a compact car and the way that Carmella was sitting. So she was kind of almost like up on one hip facing Gloria. So she's taking up more of the screen and Gloria was smaller. And her ring is just prominently placed and out and facing Gloria. So the way that they did that was like Carmella is the winning person, obviously, because she's married to Tony. So she has literally the higher ground sitting like a little bit up from Gloria. But also Gloria is trapping her into this compact car at dangerous high speeds. Carmella has no control over anything. She's just kind of complicit in what's happening. So it's a really good kind of, it's her life, essentially. It's everything that's happening with Tony is now happening with Gloria, but in a car.
Because Gloria is a dangerous fuck.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which is another good line.
Literally.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you also
God.
Notice when the ring disappeared, literally on screen? Because she makes a point to show that ring throughout the whole episode.
Yes.
Not she. The staging of every scene is about that. And that's why I think maybe rings in general, like, I don't think, by the way, that Ralphie and Rosalie are engaged.
Is that just Jackie Senior's wedding ring? Because that's what
I assume. And I just think they're trying to focus on rings because even the priest's ring is pretty prominent. I think just rings in general are being seen.
Okay.
But getting back to my original point, in the priest scene, when he finally convinces her, you know, just stay with your husband and kind of make the best of it, all of a sudden, she switches hands.
Learn to live on the good part. Forgo those things that lay without it.
And you never see the ring for the rest of the episode.
I didn't realize that was the last time you saw it. That's a good catch.
That's it.
That's great.
That's a good catch.
That's great. Quotes. A lot this episode. There's a lot. All right, should we do a little round robin?
Sure.
Becca, do you want to go first?
Do you want me to go in order of the episode or in order of my actual favorites?
Go bottom up. I want to hear your like runner ups all the way to your top.
Okay. All right. So first one. You see, Tuesday, I can take my kid to see Raffy.
That's a good one. It's a good one. Okay. I think when Tony says to Ralphie, you schooled him the best you could, didn't you? Joseph, I read your notes, so I'm going to call you out on this. You said that you think James Gandolfini won the Emmy for this episode because of the moment when Carmela tells him that Gloria drove her home. I think it's because of that line.
Okay.
The way he delivers that with his face and the evil, whatever he's trying to do, whatever he's trying to make it Ralphie do. I think that won him the Tony.
The Emmy.
The Tony won the Emmy.
Tony won the Emmy. Sorry.
He did win a Tony, though. Years later, he did win a Tony. But
whatever an EGOT.
For what?
For God of Carnage, which I had the pleasure of seeing, and he was phenomenal in it.
That's really cool that you got to see that. Okay.
One of my runner-ups is We Had Our Mofo, or whatever.
You love those malapropisms.
I love a good malapropism.
So then bottom up, I don't want to fuck my mother. I don't care what you say. You're never going to convince me. So I thought it was funny when he said it, but then it is also kind of like this huge, like he never wants to fuck his mom. We know that, but his mom is like his biggest, like he is constantly thinking about his mother, his relationship with his mother. It is kind of like a big statement for him to be like that. Like, yes, he just needs to think. It's very top level of what he needs to think about his mom. He doesn't go deeper, but it's like the main kind of thesis. I feel like,
yes, and
that is complex, but like there are some fucked up things with his mom that he needs to figure out.
And to add to that, in the last episode, the last scene is Melfi suggesting that Gloria is like his mom and he doesn't get it. So this is a huge breakthrough for him that he realizes.
Yeah.
Right. It's a big breakthrough for him.
Together. Yeah.
I think I gotta go with Melfi interrupting Tony, saying,
maybe I'm looking for a way out. You ever think of that?
Anthony, you'll never leave your wife.
Bullshit. You know, there's a limit to how much
shit I... She might leave you, but you'll never leave her.
Really good delivery. I love that she interrupts him, saying, hey, you have this wrong. I need to tell you what's up.
Which
that.
Is also out of character for a therapist. She should not, that is not what she should be saying. It is Melfi inserting herself. She's done it a few times, but this is like, that's a big crossover where like, she shouldn't have said that. That yeah. is kind of
well,
a
she
little.
She taught this whole episode. She says things about Gloria that she should not be saying.
Which
that's we'll a she becomes Tony's friend too much in this episode almost, where she's like, dude, like I can't even be your doctor right now. I just need to kind of lay it out for you.
Right, it's interesting. Right. Yeah.
But I mean, the truth is, should like I don't know, and I might need a psychiatrist to tell me, but once you find out that two of your clients are in a sexual relationship, don't you have to say one of you can't be my patient anymore?
I have the same thought.
And I have another question that's unanswerable. I don't know, though. So she is acknowledging constantly to Tony that I know you have sex with Gloria. But does Gloria know she knows? Like, has she said, listen, I know you're having sex with Tony and I.
It's like, a great question.
Or is she keeping that secret?
It does. She if she is keeping it secret, then she's picking Tony's side.
Right.
Which again, oh, yeah. is that over the line step?
Yes, I would think so.
Yeah, she's really losing her.
Yeah,
her professionalism in this episode, and maybe for the next couple. This could be actually kind of her downfall as a psychiatrist throughout.
It's a cannoli.
This is a cannoli.
Yeah.
Okay, Joseph, your next quote.
Maybe. You know what? Ruin a great fucking evening over this shit.
Kids.
I don't know. Maybe your fucking brother-in-law. Maybe Mr. Globe, then a Globe Motor, since you're America's fucking sweetheart this week.
Oh. Where the fuck do you get?
Love that. I want to use that the next time that anybody is just being a bitch. Man or woman, since you're America's fucking sweetheart this week. Great, great line.
Okay, this one I think... If we need to end the quote section, I think I'm good with ending on this one. I do have more, but this one killed me. Why would anybody hit you, of all people, with a side of beef? Which is, again, Melfi kind of crossing over the line and, like, taking Tony's side on a thing. But, like, just why would they hit you with a side of beef?
But that's another good example of her being like, yo, she's nuts.
Right.
Like, she clearly wants you to go after it. It's
right.
Yeah, it's a lot.
You're right. That's her basically being like,
look at what she's doing. Right.
Would hit you with a side of beef. And Tony actually says, like, if you were a man or if you were a guy, you know where you'd be to Gloria for doing that. So, like, you're right. That's her taking Tony's side again and being like, Gloria's insane. Like, stop.
Yeah. Stay away. I gotta go with, what the fuck does he know? He's 10.
That was a good one.
That's a good one.
This is my winner. I don't know about you, but this is it. I'm done. Make sure you rinse those plates before you put them in the dishwasher. It clogs. The power of writing, that is a throwaway line that basically is the reason that Jackie decides to rob that card game.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Like that. And it's just such a typical guy thing to say, like, because men, I think, have a thing with dishwashers.
They do. 100%.
I hate watching mom. You, my wife, I hate watching them load a dishwasher. And it's something that I don't know if women just don't. You just throw it in. Organize the shit.
I would fight you so hard on this sexist bullshit that you're going
I'm
right now.
Sorry.
But, like, me and Christian have had this fight.
I wasn't sure which way you were going with this. I was, because I didn't know if you were saying that women do it better or men do, like,
no.
I suck at loading the dishwasher. So.
And it's like, usually I'd be all over you, but I feel like this is actually a theory.
Nailed it. But and just the power of what that one line does. So that's to me the best quote.
Becca, you got another one? You said you got another one.
Okay. So she gets freaky. I mean, what do you think? Is she a full blown loop de loo or what?
That's a good.
And he uses words like looped. I know you guys kind of have talked about this with, like, what your mom says versus, like, there's all
the wackadoo and wackadoodle.
He says loop-de-loo. He says, like, a few, like, weird, I don't know what they're called, but, like, a few of those this episode, but that one was, like, kind of out of place. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but is she full-blown loop-de-loo or what?
That's a good one. My winner is... Is this prick really a doctor? I'm a prick doctor. Get it? Incredible. Incredible. And he's a returning guest here. We saw him in The Happy Wanderer.
With Sunshine.
I don't think I noticed that.
Yeah, he's the prick doctor in they make jokes about him. Still makes fun of him.
Yeah.
At the card game. And Sunshine.
He's the dealer in The Happy Wanderer. He's their dealer. He's always
dealing the cards. It makes me so sad. It's so stupid that he dies. There's just, it's so unnecessary. All right, let's dive in to our theme of the episode. I'll start. I think it's literally the title. I think it's about crazy love and our obsessions even, right? Crazy love. Obsession. So Melfi suggests that Gloria is a little crazy, right? So Gloria with Tony, Ralphie's obsessed with, you know, like playing with these young kids as his pawns. Rosalie with Ralphie, I think it's crazy that she loves him, right? That's just someone is very true. Blinded by love.
Yep.
Carmela with Tony. Carmela is realizing that she's crazy to be in love with this criminal. Of a man. So that's what I went with.
And a Meadow still being in love with Jackie. I mean, I think she didn't just fall out of love with him.
But you know, these kids are nothing like us. They don't feel any, like,
no ice cream.
This is okay.
Right. I agree. I think Meadow's over it.
Yeah.
But I guess we know she's, spoiler alert, she's not. So I guess. Cannoli. Yeah. Cannoli. I guess we'll get there. What are your themes?
Well, hold on. Can we...
Yeah, I kind of want to talk about yours because I don't hate yours as a thought. And I also want to put out there that there can be more than one theme. So I don't want to, like,
absolutely
say it's not that, because I think that is just a very, like, it's like that's an obvious one. It makes sense that all these plot lines kind of So it's not wrong. I don't want to be like, you're wrong. But like
Amorfu.
Mofo.
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 Our mofo, I think, is actually the
our mofo.
Would it forgive my being an English teacher? You gave what us a topic.
What about crazy love? What about crazy love? Our obsession you just saying crazy and love. Crazy love gets in the way of our rational decisions.
Thank you.
That's a good theme.
That's the theme.
There you go.
I don't like my theme. I agree with you. I'm going with yours.
Ooh. Shut up.
Wow. So
really?
I wasn't really happy with my theme in general.
That was a plot twist. I did not see that coming.
What it was, but it's be careful what you wish for. But I think I think yours is more
interesting. Interesting. Particular. So mine is kind of like yours, but I made it a little different. But I don't disagree with Sarah's because you said it. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. That's the theme. But I don't know if it's a sub theme. It's not quite a motif because I do think it is a theme, but like it's the duplicity of life and choices between two things and not being able to see the consequences of those choices.
Okay. Yeah.
So totally. What you wish for is also that follows the same thing.
Yeah. And
mine's more trite you're a better way of saying it. Mine's a cliche, but yes.
Wait, you're the English teacher or?
Oh, wow. You were waiting. You were waiting like episodes to say that. Episodes upon episode.
Yeah, stuff. A little bit. Not really. No, I do agree. Like Sarah's, yours makes sense. Also, I keep going to say Stefanelli because that's what I call you, Sarah. But that is also Joseph's name, and that does not work. Sarah. That's what it is.
Sarah.
But yeah, so like the duplicity of life choices, I do think so. And it's specifically that there's like two choices in this episode, that there's like two things that people can choose. So Carmela either has ovarian cancer or she's pregnant. She doesn't realize that there's a third choice, that it's thyroid cancer. Carmela cries.
It's a thyroid issue. She doesn't have cancer. Yeah.
Ovarian cancer was in my notes. I read it twice. My bad.
You're good.
But Carmela cries at the museum and at a dog food commercial. So like the difference.
That made me laugh. Because you know what? I would also cry at that dog commercial.
Probably. Tony is either complacent in his marriage or he's with a crazy Gumar. There's no in between. Jackie and Meadow are each other's mirror. So they both have the same life opportunities. They're both in college. They're both like they can do it. They're both related to the mafia and the family, but they don't necessarily take part in it. And you can either choose to take part in it, which is Jackie, or move yourself further away, which is Meadow, and what those consequences look like at the end. What else? Jackie offers let's go down the shore instead of robbing the card game. So there's two choices there and they chose the card game. What else?
Nice.
Chris is given the choice of love or respecting Tony, which is also a cannoli for the leader. Tony has a choice of what to do with Jackie. But he actually in that one kind of chooses the third option, which is the Ralphie out. But I still think that he's between two choices.
Sure.
Ralphie then has the same two choice. But then in like a kind of duplicity there, he figures out what he's going to do, but then also goes home and consoles Rose like about it. Like, so
he's setting her up.
Preparing her. Yeah. So there's everyone has like two, like a crossroads, I would almost call it, but no one knows what the consequences or what's going to happen for it.
Wow. Good. That's great. I'm convinced. I think you got it.
I think you got it too.
Okay. So, I'm going to add though, I think it's, and we can't see what the better choice is because of our crazy love and our crazy obsessions.
There you go.
We tied in.
Most people, honestly, because most people are in these choices are set onto what the choice is already.
Right. Like and they don't even see the other choice.
It's the gut instinct, the crazy
love.
Yeah, obsession.
I love it.
All right. Chock full of symbolism. Let's get into it. Let's round robin.
Yeah. Round robin.
I'll start.
Yeah.
The opening shot is Meadow and Carm are just chess pawns. The statues being their size, they just look like they're part of a chess set. That's it. I'm going to leave it at that.
The sculptures that they're standing in are actually Rodin, and he is like kind of the grotesqueness of real life. And so it's mirroring art with what like real life is. And they are just, that's basically Carmela's big crux of what's real life versus what's like the criminal aspect of that. And then the other thing that I loved is Carmela comes over and says that she's spotting, which if any English teacher knows is out damn spot is a Macbeth reference. And so it's Lady Macbeth and how she's guilty by complicity in like Duncan's murder. And so it's mirroring Carmela's complicity in Tony's criminal activities with Lady Macbeth's out damn spot, which is
Becca just won this entire season.
Yeah, I never caught that.
Wow. That's exactly what it is. Oh my God.
It is.
Yeah. I'm so excited. That's so awesome.
That kind of goes into like a little more. So she doesn't realize how strong her internal guilt is and what like remorse is. And that was Macbeth, like Lady Macbeth's whole thing. So then it also is in contrast. So anytime Mary is in a picture or painting, she's in blue, and that started very early on, but it's to represent Mary the Empress, which is another queen. And so you have Lady Macbeth the queen, Carmela the queen of the mafia family, and Mary the queen in like an empress standpoint. Wow. And all three of them are torn between mortal sin and being like holy. And so it's really like a trifecta of three very important women standing in this like small thing. It was just like, I literally spent probably 20 minutes like deep diving on like all the art around them, because they picked it very specifically to like put Carmela in this triangle of these like historical women.
Which is probably why they didn't care that they were like, listen, we need this painting. We don't care if it's in the Brooklyn Museum. We don't care if it's a MoMA. We don't give a shit. These are the paintings we need.
And that makes me feel better about the mistake.
Right.
Like, I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, so, wow.
I love the opening scene. I think, and then one more. I'm so sorry.
You're good. Don't apologize.
Just feel like I could talk.
You're on a roll.
So I don't want to like go too deep, but if anyone wants to talk about art history and symbolism in The Sopranos, hit me up because I got you. But lastly, the music that's playing, I don't know if either of you noticed this, but it's the same song that ends Pine Barrens.
So, yeah, we talked about that in Pine Barrens.
Cool. I haven't listened to that one yet. I'm so sorry.
It's not released yet, so you're good.
That's fair. But do you talk about what it is about?
It's about being a scorned wife.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it is also,
and which is interesting why it's the end of Pine Barrens, because she's not in it. But I do have a theory about it. Because the beginning of Pine Barrens is Gloria by them. And by ending with it, I think it's that reminder of, okay, he's happy with Gloria, but Carmela's still there being scorned. And I think it's kind of that.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a cannoli, but I think that's what makes it a full circle in Pine Barrens. But the fact that it connects really is interesting. Like, this is part two of Pine Barrens.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. I do think that this is almost a counter, like a what's that called? Like, what did you call it when you have two episodes back to back?
A two-parter?
Two-parter, sure. There is a word for that. I can't remember it at the top of my mind right now. But would you have it?
Well, I was going to say, I think it's an odd connection between Paulie and Carmela. Because Paulie, at the end of Pine Barrens, is literally looking out the window of a car, questioning his life. And I think this whole episode is about Carmela, the scorned wife, questioning her life. You know, and while she's looking at these paintings, she's contemplating life the same way Paulie was looking at the dead trees, which, you know, I love dead trees in this show. And I think it, you know, very rarely would we connect these two characters, but that to me is what it is. That's why this song is being played twice. But please, but if you have another theory.
No, I just think that these episodes, if David Chase had the choice, he would put them back to back. I think he intended them to be watched back to back. And I don't remember if we were saying this before we started recording or after, but like Pine Barrens, you kind of get to the end and it's only one plot line. So you have all these other like A plot, B plot, C plot, whatever. But then the plot, the B plot of them being lost in the woods kind of takes over the episode and you don't really resolve any of the others. And so this episode is bringing those plot lines back in. So it really is kind of, you bookend the lost in the woods with these other plots. So it is all connected because you kind of drop off in Pine Woods.
Also, just because we're on art, there's two other references to art that I just think are very important, not in that scene, but in general. I love the malapropism when he says she's like a Goyim. And what he means is it's Goya, right? Am I saying it correctly? It's Goya, the artist?
Yes, the Spanish. Yeah.
The Spanish painter. And he says she's like a Spanish princess, right? Goya's probably most famous painting, correct me if I'm wrong, is the Satan devouring his son, which is one of the most grotesque ideas. Saturn. What did I say?
Saiyan.
I'm sorry, I meant Saturn.
Yep.
But I mean, the idea of a parent devouring their child and destroying them is so now he has this Livia idea painting destroying him, and that's what he's connecting to Gloria. So that's clearly a connection. I also love the fact that he knows what Goya is, even though he mispronounces it. It's kind of like, really?
Can I say that I think that's a malapropism? I think he meant Goyim, which is a Jewish beast. And so he would have learned that from Hesh.
That's what I think thought it was too.
So I have them both because I think you are correct. I think David Chase wanted us to think of Francisco Goya and think of that and have that as a symbol. But I think Tony's not smart enough necessarily to know Goya as a painter. So he was referencing the Goyim of like a Jewish monster.
Shit.
Yeah.
Which is referenced in the second episode of the series. So he knows what that means because he's heard Tannenbaum say it.
I'm so sorry. Goyim is... it's Gollum, but Goyim Gollum, right. Is all. So Gollum is a beast. Goyim is the word for Gentile. So like it all connects together. But I think he meant Gollum in that too.
Wow,
that's a good call. So it's a malapropism on top of a malapropism.
Yeah,
that's insane. The other one more painting that I think is really really interesting. I'm sure there's others I'm missing, but. That big confrontation between Chris and Tony, there's a painting behind them that it looks like maybe two storms merging, animals merging, but clearly it's symbolic of them. But what I love about it is it's an abstract painting. You don't know what it is, just like their fight. You don't know what Tony feels.
Yeah.
Chris is making it very clear he should be popped. And by the way, Christopher's right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like in the rules of their world, Jackie should be done.
Yep.
But I just love that to Tony, like that painting, it's not easy. It's not that easy. We can't just look at it and go, that's what it is. So I just thought that was a really interesting piece of artwork. And I mean, this show's famous for it. So I'm sure there's others, but those were the big ones for me.
Love it. Love it.
Sarah, do you want to play along? Do you want to give us a symbol here? I mean, what's going on?
So I think it's an ironic symbol that Jackie pulls a gun on a guy about smoking a cigarette in the pizza place. And then he turns around and he's excited about the truck carrying cigarettes. That's going to be his assignment. I found that ironic.
And he's also smoking later in the episode.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
I have a double meaning symbolism again. So the pedigree dog food commercial that Carmela's crying at, the word pedigree has a double meaning. So it's like obviously the breed and like dog related, but then it's also, just like a higher class. So the sapphire ring, the BMW, the nice house that she keeps, like it's the fact that it's a pedigree commercial is a symbol.
Like it could have been Purina, but they picked pedigree.
Correct. Yeah.
Love it.
The basic instinct scene, which is famous for, her legs and everything in between, really connects to Gloria and the fact that we've focused on her legs so much. So it really ties. I mean, we don't really realize that Jackie and Gloria are so tied to each other, even though they never meet. But I mean, they intertwine so much. And basically, I mean, they're the catalyst for season 3. So, I mean, they're so connected. I think that's a little shout out to Gloria. I also want to mention that Sean and Matt, who we've already talked to, there was that scene where they're in their underwear and Furio walks in and we said it was a little homoerotic. Despite the fact that they're looking at a woman's vagina, I think them sitting that close to each other on the couch and the camera sits on them a little long, it's a little homoerotic. I think they're connecting those two to Sean and Matt in a way. I have watched Basic Instinct many times because it's a great movie, not because I need to see Sharon Stone, but I would never sit that close to one of my guy friends and watch that scene. You both are staring at me like
I think you lost me in the. You might be right. I just haven't thought about it. So I'm just like,
that's my reaction too. I haven't thought about it. It ties into also Jackie randomly says he thinks Ralphie's gay.
How does it tie into that?
Maybe Jackie.
Wait, so you're not buying that it's homoerotic?
No, I didn't get that vibe.
I did think that it's really weird that they sat so close on the couch next to each other while the scene was playing. And they did. You're right. I think I did note that because it would have made sense for Jackie to move Scooch a little bit.
Yes.
And he even like says out loud, like, no, it's my house. I like whatever. Like, you're right. But I don't think I ever one did the tie back to Matt and I can't think
Sean.
Of it. Sean. I didn't put that. I had been looking for Matt and Sean connections and I didn't put that in there, but yeah. Interesting.
In the same scene that you're talking about, Joseph, Jackie is, you know, he's explaining his dumbass idea about robbing this card game and he keeps saying call Carlo. And I'm sorry, I only know one other character in the entire world named Carlo and we all know what happens to Carlo. So I just feel like there's this Godfather tie of like, this is just a bad idea, guys. Just sure. Don't involve Carlo. No one should involve Carlo.
I agree.
So the quote is, I would have to be pretty stupid to write a book about killing and then kill someone the way I described it. And then Ralphie is literally saying, here's exactly the way that they got made. They robbed a card game. And then Jackie and him go and do the exact same thing.
Ooh, love
well
it.
Done. Nice.
Love that.
When Ralphie leaves the room with Tony, goes outside, there's a prominent sign of the path, which we know, you know, from our mother growing up in Harrison is reference to the path train. But it's literally,
why
that's
would
Ralphie.
Your little sister lived in Hoboken. What do you mean our mother growing up in Harrison, we know the path? I took the
good
path every day.
The point is, he's choosing his path.
I love that. That's great.
And he needs to choose, you know. And he, by the way, walks in the direction of the path.
When Carmela says the church has changed so much, she's referring to him being so understanding and that he's going to be a psychiatrist or whatever, psychology, whatever he says. His Carmela clearly doesn't get it right either. I also think it's kind of a writing on the dig on the Catholic Church too, because he's saying to Carmela, like, You can take the ring. You can take the riches. There's some good to this. You know, you have to look at the good part of it. So I think it's a small dig. I don't think Carmela meant it as a dig, but I think the writing meant it as a dig.
There are a few symbols that all kind of lead into an underlying motif for this episode. So infantilizing and questioning manhood or like challenging manhood is seen throughout this. So Jackie and Dino are always eating. They always have an oral fixation. They have a Coke and pizza, a Coke and spaghetti. They're smoking a cigarette. I think it's Coke and pizza again. Like they're always eating and they're always like, it's like very simple kid foods. Then kind of what you were saying, Joseph, before that Ralphie tells them to wash out the plates. It's a very childlike instruction to give to them. There's an erectile dysfunction commercial, which challenges the like manhood thought of that part of it. And then they make fun of Furio's underwear for being ladies' underwear, but like he is currently being operated on without anesthesia after being shot. So like in that kind of thing, he's more of the man in that. They kid down a lot of the people in this episode.
Nice.
Even Christopher saying, I loved you. That's a very childish thing to say, like the way he's saying it.
Yeah. There is a tie. The ladies are talking about Hillary Clinton and how she has to deal with her husband cheating in public. Melfi's suit in the last scene Melfi very rarely wears pants. She always usually has a skirt on, and it's a powder blue pantsuit, and it's very Hillary Clinton.
That's also a pretty big cannoli. The idea of Hillary Clinton took that shit and spun it into gold.
It is a huge,
is a good point. Big cannoli. Yes, that is. I didn't think of that, but it is. Yeah.
But Hillary Clinton also, so kind of off that, so there's a other symbolism of women making their own way in this. So Gloria is her own. She makes her own money. Yep. He never asked for money from Tony. Meadows at Columbia and doesn't rely on a man for success, which is what Gloria says to Carmel in the car. Hillary Clinton having to put up with the blowjobs and the stained dress and such. And then
such a good delivery. Those blowjobs. That was also such a good delivery.
It's not just us. The president of the United States, for crying out loud. I mean, look what his wife had to put up with the blowjobs in the stained dress.
Yeah, that's such a good delivery for, like, oh my God. And then go on.
It is kind of it's a cannoli for later, but then it's also hinted at with Carmela with the real estate book at the end, making her own way there. So I do think that that's a big one. But the other subplot of that is in all of these women making their own way, they are suppressing family problems to make that happen. So Gloria has a thing with her sister. Carmela's struggling with Tony. Angie's with the garage after Pussy. So they all have to, like, put family things aside in order to be better. Or better, nice. In quotes. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nice. The song Return to Me. Tony's back with Carmela at the end.
I have more about Return to Me, too.
Go, add.
Well, first of all, did you notice there's a lot of songs played twice?
Yes, I did.
In this episode.
And Affection.
Yes.
A Stevie Van Zandt song.
Which is amazing.
You know my love, my meta. But Return to Me, so it's sung the Dean Martin version. And side note, Bob Dylan requested to sing his own version of a Dean Martin song. He loved the show so much, he went to David Chase and said, give me an opportunity to sing a Dean Martin song.
And they recorded
that version for this episode.
I'm obsessed with that. That's amazing.
Return to me. Oh, my dear, I'm so lonely.
Hurry back, oh, my love, hurry back, I am yours. Return to me, for my heart wants you.
But what's really interesting about how it was used is the Dean Martin version is obviously the older version, and it's very old school mafia, and you hardly hear it.
Mm.
But the Dylan version, which is new and fresh, I mean, you hear every word.
Yeah.
Which is, let's face it, to hear every word Dylan says is pretty interesting in its own right.
Yeah. Honestly, I had that thought.
it's a really, like, symbolic of the younger generation, whether it's smart or not, is really trying to make a move to become the main people, the way that Jackie and Tony did in the past when Return to Me was being played. But you, right. Again, you hardly heard it.
Nice. Food and Violence. The what's the guy's name who threatened Gloria at the end? Why can I never remember that man's
Patsy.
Name? Patsy. I swear I just can't. Patsy is saying he'll be home with the stuffed shells soon. Also, Jackie with the spaghetti, when he has the idea to rob, he's like sitting there eating spaghetti. So Food and Violence tied in.
Patsy being the one to threaten Gloria is also kind of symbolic. Woo! Good job, Joe.
Literally. Literally.
Wait, catch me up. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Literally what I was going to say.
Characters that you have available at your disposal, right? You have Polly with the hair. You have Syl, again, with the hair, but also with, like, the Syl things. Like, you have all these people who are memorable.
Not cinematic.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. They're like, scary mafia dudes. They are 100% connected. You have no question that, or if you have a slight question, it's like, you're dumb. Obviously they're in it. Patsy coming out of the grocery store with stuffed shells to bring home to his wife, being the one to threaten Gloria's life, is not cinematic. It is, and it kind of goes back to that opening scene with like the Rodin statues, where it's like the ugliness of real and regularness of life, that Patsy is the one to do it, is like, this is ugly. Like,
it could be anyone.
Yeah.
The mob could be anyone.
Well, and she says, kill me, kill me. And to send Patsy is almost like the ultimate fuck you to her.
Yeah.
Because yeah. No, I'm not going to kill you. I'm not even going to send a scary shit to you. I'm giving you the least cinematic, anticlimactic ending to your character arc in my life.
Your crave for drama.
Also, which is also a callback to when Patsy was going to come and shoot Tony, but instead just peed in the pool. So it's just like complete alter, like not cinematic, not the action you think is going to happen. But like, yeah, so that's who Patsy is. Patsy is the regular Joe Schmo that is going to like have these like
effective.
Yeah. I mean, peeing in the pool is gross, but yeah, that I think that was on purpose callback to that episode, the previous episode with him and Tony, but also just ties into the whole thing of like, this show should not be cinematic. You should not see this as a cinematic thing. This is the ugliness of life. And kind of back to what you're saying in the beginning, it's just going to get uglier. Like, it's going to keep being the exact opposite of what you think it should be, because it's a show about life.
I also think, and I don't want to get into specifics, especially because I'm talking about future episodes, but I think who Tony chooses to send on certain jobs is always very interesting. I think he very strategically chooses, this is a Paulie job, this is a Silvio job, this is a Christopher job, this was a pussy job, whatever. I think
he picked the wrong person for Pine Barrens,
and that's why Paulie is having an existential crisis, because he was given a job that wasn't his role. That all ties into that for sure. That Tony might have been wrong, which also can be a bigger thing. Like, just because Tony is the boss doesn't mean he's always right. Like,
yeah.
So it's back to the like regularness of the world. Tony's not the end all be all, and how this all works.
Love it. What does the title mean? I think we covered it.
Very literal. Yeah.
It means crazy love.
It means crazy love in French. Melfi explains it to Tony, and it was my proposed theme. So I think we're good there, right? Anything else? I don't think so, right?
Becca.
Yes.
Sarah and I have a little bit of a disagreement about who the most valuable Goomba is.
Oh no.
I want you to say who it is, Becca.
So you have to, well, you don't want her to hear our arguments.
No, just I want her to say what it is, and then I want Becca to just say who she thinks it is, and okay. I'm going to win.
I think it's Tony.
Oh.
Oh no.
Neither of us chose Tony.
Okay. So I think I was between Tony and Jackie.
Yes!
Damn it!
I think I was between Tony and Jackie. I'm so sorry.
Damn!
I might have given it to Carmella. I was between the three. Oh, wait. Are those all your two?
No! Mine's nothing.
Jackie.
I'm talking to Joseph at this point. You're out of the conversation. Yes.
No, I was just so happy that you keep naming these characters that aren't Gloria.
Okay, let me,
because hers is Gloria.
I picked Gloria.
Interesting. I don't think she has any effect on the rest of it, though. She has
correct.
She has a singular effect on the Tony plotline, but she doesn't. And kind of
she's tied in with Melfi, and that affects the relationship with Melfi and Tony. It affects the relationship with Carmella and Tony, whether Carmella realizes it or not.
But
clearly, her relationship with Tony is a huge thing in this episode.
It's over.
And I think Carmella would be having these questions regardless. She doesn't know who Gloria is. If Carmella knew that it was Gloria, I think you could make the argument that that Gloria is the most valuable Goomba. But
okay.
Goomba, Goomar, I keep saying the wrong thing. Goomba is
most valuable Goomba.
But
anyway. All right, there she goes. There, Gloria is the most valuable Goomar.
I don't think
sure.
Sure. Okay. So you think it's Jackie?
You know it's painful. Because I love Gloria. You know that. I've said that. She is one of my favorite characters. I'm sad to see her go.
But
Jackie Jr. is literally the next episode. I mean, it's all coming to this. What's going to happen to this kid?
Okay, fine.
So I think I'm going to just challenge it a little. I think it's Tony for this episode. And I think it's Jackie for the next episode. Because Jackie affects Tony in this one more than he affects Tony in the next one. And where this episode is from Tony's point of view.
Okay. So, Becca, you're sticking with Tony.
I think I'm sticking with
Tony. And Joseph's sticking with Jackie.
But I like her argument. I will say, we mentioned two episodes ago of, like, we were talking about what episode James Gandolfini got nominated for, and he won for this one.
Yeah.
I know we're not supposed to take that into account, but this is a stellar performance. And this is
amazing.
Of the ones he's won the Emmy for, this is the better one. I mean, this is maybe so far, maybe his best episode.
He plays, and you were talking about this in, I think, the episode you were talking about, whether he was nominated for the Emmy or not, but he plays he was given a direction about something, but he was going to play it to the character regardless of what David Chase was saying. Multiple times, like, he plays a duplicitous character in multiple scenes this episode, and as the viewer, you're picking up what he's thinking and what he's saying and what's intended all at once, just because he's, like, that good of an actor.
So you two had a different opinion from what I think Tony was trying to do with Ralphie, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
two completely different reads on it. It's amazing.
Well, like, here's another example. Where's your ring? Oh, I had to take it to the place to get sized. The look on his face.
I know.
He says no words. He's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
He's suspicious. He's angry.
Confused.
All in one.
And
he doesn't say anything.
It's incredible.
We're talking, I think the camera's on him for maybe a second and a half. And I might be being generous. It's amazing. Like,
and the switch that he does. So when he goes, because you got to love me, but you will respect me. That switch between those two lines.
Yes.
That was, like, moment stopping, because he is actually hurt that Christopher doesn't love him anymore. And he starts that line being hurt, but that his nephew doesn't love him anymore. But he switches to the boss on the but you will respect me. And it is chilling.
Oh, he's so amazing. Oh, my God. Maybe I was convinced. Maybe it's Tony.
I still think it's Jackie plot-wise, but you can't deny the actor and the character, the merging together. It's amazing.
If we pulled this shit, something that made us go, oh, my God, that's us. Jackie and his friend eating the leftover pasta out of the Tupperware.
That's what I said. But I say that all that shit was not for rinsing out for the dishwasher. Or rinsing out so it didn't clog the dishwasher. It was rinsing it out so that it didn't stain the Tupperware.
Yes.
Was mine.
Yes. That's
the shit.
Agreed.
That was, like, if we ran the dishwasher and it got baked into the Tupperware, my mom would be pissed.
Pissed. Yeah. Totally. And just the call out to calamari, they say galamad. And I don't think we've heard that, but that is definitely what my family calls it.
I also said about rinsing the plate. Literally, I wrote the exact same. My favorite quote, I wrote it again here, because that's Dad would say that. But I also heard Dad's voice when during the mad cow moment.
This mad cow disease. I think it's terrible the English government didn't tell people sooner.
Maybe they don't want to create a stampede.
Maybe it's trying to create a stampede. I can just hear Dad saying that and being proud of the joke. Like, he's like, that's funny. Neither one of you, maybe was Meadow, like, her outfit at the museum. Did you guys look like that in the 90s?
What was she wearing? I forget.
Well, so I actually commented when I watched it on her hair, because that trend is now back in. Like, it's the middle part with the clip in the back, which is now back in.
It's come full circle.
And I looked at it going, like, oh, that doesn't look like a time hairdo anymore. Like, it you used to watch and be like, oh, that's very, like, put a butterfly clip in that's the 90s. But, like, I watched it this time, I was thinking, like, oh, that's actually a very, that's what people
trendy right now. It's trendy right now.
She had a jean jacket. I'm trying to remember. She had a jean jacket with, like, a t-shirt on underneath, but I don't remember what she had under, like, pant wise.
No, it was more the, you're right, the hair and the jacket that I don't her really jewelry. Remember pant-wise either.
Yeah, very 90s, yeah.
It's multiple necklaces. She had, I think the cut it's of now. The jean jacket was very, like, old, but the style is very much so what's in now, which is weird. But yes, I did wear a jean jacket and multiple.
But definitely a significant change symbolizing post-Jackie. That's not what she looked like in the previous episode.
Well, she was messy and a mess. She was in the
well, no, before. I mean, or the episode before that. I mean, it feels like this is very this is my new
been
look.
Sick for like two episodes?
No, just Pine Barrens.
Just Pine Barrens? Okay. I don't remember the Telltale Moonsadel, was that the one before?
No. God,
Satan's power.
Oh, the dot, dot,
dot, dot, Satan's power.
Dot, 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 dot,
yeah. I have no cannolis.
I have a couple.
Two cannolis. I have a few, but two big ones.
Go Becca, you go first.
Feach LaManna.
Mm-hmm.
The big one. Christopher Love or Respecting Tony comes back.
In the painting, the way Jesus touches St. Catherine's face is the same that Tony will touch Gloria's.
I had that as an episode cannoli. Yes.
Oh.
She, as a nice. Comfort. As a comfort.
Yeah.
Nice.
Furio getting shot in the groin, I feel, is some ironic accidental foreshadowing. I'm just going to throw that out there. And then, a closed cannoli. So I mentioned in a previous episode, he mentions you got the earrings that match the ring. And I loved that scene. That's the scene where he hears the sound of what we said, it's Edgar Allan Poe.
Yes.
Well, now, and I, this is the, that foreshadowed this scene where, again, you know, she's baking, they're talking, he compliments her.
You love when they're domestic.
It's very domestic. Yeah. You know, is that why you don't have those Looney Tune moods?
All the exes.
But the ring's gone. Now it's right. Where's your ring? So, and there will be more. Like, I love that. But the fact that she's wearing the ring in that one and not in this one, I think connects them.
Nice. All right. Are anything else? Becca, you take us home.
Yeah, I have a few things. So I think this is a really good episode that illustrates that the institution is stronger than the individual, because I do think that there are a lot of choices that are happening amongst this, and there are a lot of outside characters that have plot lines. But in the end, the institution that is the family of the mafia is stronger. So anyone who's like trying to challenge it basically gets checked. Literally.
Awesome.
Gloria, figuratively, cannolis for things. So I do think that this is really good. The mafia is bigger than the plot lines that we're seeing. What else? This episode said go fuck yourself more than I think any other episode has said. I think they curse a lot, and I think that there's a lot of like FUs and like cursing in general, but the actual like go fuck yourself was said to almost every character, like Tony, Gloria, Jackie, Ralphie. They all said it in different variations across the
whole. Interesting.
Like, it was just a very, it's a very like strong phrase. So I think I was just hearing it a lot and being like, why are people so aggressive? Like it is, it kind of is a symbolism, but like, I just think that it's showing how the characters are really, really challenging each other. And like the aggressiveness and like violence that's happening, going to happen.
To come, right.
Kind of sets up the like everyone's response to things is like a violent response. And it's just more so than I think in previous episodes.
Okay. Nice.
It's funny. I did not notice that, but I did notice that it's one of the first things that he says to Gloria, but
yeah,
this time in an angry sense. But let's not forget, I mean, she did fuck herself at the zoo and it incredibly turned him on. So,
because she was a snake.
Right. So, like, I thought it was interesting that it got flipped and now it was this violent, but that's interesting. I didn't notice it. I'll notice that the next time I watch it, though.
Yeah.
Like, okay, how many times was that said?
A lot of cocksuckers was thrown out this episode, too. Go fuck yourself was stronger, but like, cocksuckers were thrown out, too, which kind of goes back to your like, maybe homophobic, homoerotic things that are happening. But yeah, the language this episode seemed to be
stronger than usual, even more strong. Okay.
And then I have two more things, one quick one, and then one I think that's going to open up to both of you to also add in. So quickly, back to Joseph's theme a couple episodes ago where history was repeating itself. Melfi says, it's a repeat of what's familiar, even if it's bad for us, and that has passed for love. And I think that that is just a really important thing to point out for this episode. It's Tony and Carmela's marriage. It's Christopher and Tony's relationship. Ralph and Jackie's relationship, Jackie's relationship with father figures. I think it's just the
storyline of the two young kids.
Yeah, yeah.
Trying to make it in the mob.
Yeah, I think it's just a bigger quote that then it wasn't just a Melfi quote. I think it is one that specifically applies across the episode here.
Sure, sure.
And then lastly, let's talk about the psychopath that is Gloria smiling.
Oh,
this violence. She was just like happy to see and happy to hear about the violence. So I think you guys also have this. So someone else talk about it and I'll chime in.
That's it. I mean, anytime he mentioned that he hit his ex-girlfriend and she smiled, there was another moment where she smiled. I think when he came to see her right before the very aggressive fight that he had with her, he says something and she gives him this grin and she gives him a poor you. And that's what makes him really mad. Right. But she's a reflection of him. Tony smiles when there's violence. We've said this before. And just to see it play back and him get so angry at it is deep and interesting.
So quick question. If that is a reflection of Tony, we do know that Gloria is suicidal in this, right? She's saying, kill me, kill me. How does that reflect back on Tony, do you think? Is there a reflection? Is there a line there, or is it just a one way?
Is Tony suicidal, are you asking?
Or is not suicidal, maybe not as strong, but is there a internal question that Tony's going through too?
Well, sure. We know he struggles with depression and they both go to the same doctor. Maybe it's just a reflection of just his poor mental health and that they both have to deal with it. I think it's a different mental health issue, though, that they have. But I think that's fair. It's a mirror of they're both going through it, right? I think it's fair.
Weird that she smiles, though.
Oh, it's haunting. It is.
Because you
kind of like, and Livia has a haunting smile too, right? Remember when he's about to kill her with the pillow and she has a stroke and we don't know if she's smiling or not. Mm-hmm. Just they both have a parallel to this evil smile. Ugh.
And Janet kind of does it too. Like when the Russian gets, when she realizes that Tony is the one that beats up the Russian, she's happy. Yep.
She's happy.
Happy. Yeah.
Thankful.
Brother aspect, is that what the line is?
It's the brother concept.
It's the brother concept. All right. So I have a question. Is it very clear that Gloria stalked him in the parking lot?
Yes.
Okay. And that's another moment where she has an evil laugh because he walks away from her and she just laughs at him with his back turned to her.
It also, the fact that the opening scene is juxtaposed with that, so the parking garage is also where Melfi was attacked.
Yeah,
so it's an inherent violent.
I was waiting for one of these. Yeah,
same thought.
It's a violent place. You immediately just remember
that. Associate that with her. I know.
You're going from the art piece museum where Carmela's having this internal struggle, and it is a hard cut to the parking garage and the car parking. So that's I thought that was a really interesting choice to put those scenes next to each other.
Mm. We called out that Melfi in the past was Tony's soldier and she took blood money from him. We assumed to pay for Jason's books, if we recall. It is important to we're saying that kind of Melfi took Tony's side before. She does openly say to him, though, I'm not taking your blood money. So it's this opposite to Carmela and I dare say Gloria.
Although Gloria doesn't take his money, and that's said specifically.
No, but right, Melfi's distancing herself from his lovers, let's say that, in this episode.
But yet she is one of his soldiers in this episode because she's siding with him.
I agree, right.
Enabling him in a way.
I agree. It's.
Can I posit that it's almost Olivia thing too, where Tony is her son, so there's like obviously she sided, but then at the same time is
against him.
literally calling for him to be killed and tricking him. So, like, I don't think that it's wrong to say that both things can be true for
are happening. Me. Yeah, that's fair. When Carmela tells Tony that Gloria drove her home, Joseph, this is when you think he won the Emmy.
And the Emmy goes to.
I thought Tony was going to have an anxiety attack.
I thought I was going to have an anxiety attack.
He is eating too, but it's not meat. So normally, so like he meat had triggered his anxiety attack.
Yeah, before.
He's eating.
That's a good point. He's okay so, then.
Yeah, yeah. I think if he was eating deli,
he would have had
gabagool. He would have had a panic.
Does Ralphie really love Rosalie? Becca's just shaking her head, not even hesitating.
Well, because. I see it. I think it's the Richie and Janice plotline again. I think this is a mirror back to that, where Richie is incapable of loving Janice. And I mean, kind of fits in with your podcast here, where Jackie comments that Ralphie might be gay. And then we're saying that Richie can't be in a relationship with Janice because he's actually gay. Like, I think it's a not that where we kind of made that big assumption, but maybe it is that. I agree. I do think, once again, Richie's gay, but
totally.
But I do think that this whole, again, we're back to the mirrors and the plot lines of previous episodes. I don't think he does. I think it's another Richie and Janice situation.
Okay.
I don't think he's capable of loving anyone.
Yeah. Okay. That's a fair blanket.
And in fact, I actually will say there is one human who I believe he truly loves. And when we learn
it's himself.
Who that human is, that's an incredible episode.
Oh,
for
me.
I don't know what you're talking about. That's exciting.
Yeah.
Christopher's just hot this episode. Just want to call out. That's it.
When he gets angry at the end, I don't.
Yeah, I'm kind of into it.
You on it.
I'm kind of into it. That's it. I just call out to Michael Imperioli.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Farewell to Annabelle Sciorra, who plays Gloria. I hope I pronounced her name right. Who, by the way, was nominated for Best Guest Actress in a Drama for this episode. Well-deserved. She did lose to Sally Field, who did a long stint on ER, and she was really good on ER. And I could hear our friend Jessica Berger screaming at me, yes, she deserved it for ER. She was really good. But I think, Annabelle, you did a beautiful job on the show, and thank you for being my favorite.
Annabella,
and thank you very much for being one of my favorite of Tony's Kumars. I just want to give a shout out to Ralphie for kind of being a good dad, and I kind of like that he sides with Tony about not reaching out to someone at Rutgers.
Tell me, Romeo, now that you move back home, are you going to be humping Tony Soprano's little girl on our couch?
Fuck her. Tony, too, with his stay-in-school bullshit. He could have reached out to somebody at Rutgers.
He should break the dean's legs because you're too lazy to read a fucking book.
I mean, it's true. Like, no, fuck off. You're not.
Yeah,
no,
like, just shut read up, a book. Jackie. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Read your 15 pages of Edgar Allan Poe and you'll be fine.
Right, exactly.
But that is back to the, like, child, treating him like a child, that he expects childlike treatment for that.
Right.
Let my dad go talk to him. Like, it's not his dad, but father figure.
Right.
Totally.
A little parallel to Hesh, who's not in the episode, but when Gloria's finally opening up about her family and Tony's going, you know, we had a Santa Claus at the party. He wasn't very good. That's what Hesh does to Tony when Tony's trying to talk about panic attacks. Hesh will go off on his own thing. And sometimes what Tony will say, what, are you going to fucking listen to me? He's literally doing that to Gloria.
Yeah.
Fuck off, Carmela. It's just a big fuck you, Carmela. Yeah.
Hey!
My
husband's, you know, he's a criminal. You know how he gave $50,000 to my daughter's college?
But my life is financed by crime. His crime. $50,000 to my daughter's college. The psychiatrist says it's all blood money.
What the fuck? You made him. You made him, you hypocrite.
Ooh. No, I think she's guilty about it. That's why she says it.
No. She's saying his crime. No. Bullshit. She's throwing him under the bus for that, and I hate that.
I think she's confessing. I have a quote that goes off because I had this, but I didn't. So when they're at lunch and they're talking about it, Carmela says, who wants to be humiliated in public and then walk around smiling all the time? She does the exact opposite. So, like, she's guilty. She feels guilty about it. I would dig a hole and I would climb into it and I would not come out is exactly what she did with the 50K. Like, she feels guilty about it. Also, I think you disagreed on that. You disagreed that you thought she was faking it. I don't think she's faking
the whole thing.
I don't think she's faking either.
So
she's a manipulative bitch.
No, I don't.
I think this whole plot line is her having internal remorse. And that, like, I think this is her character arc. I think she's wholeheartedly feels guilty about it. And that the mentioning the 50K again is her being like, that's the life I have to live. You think it's like an, oh, pity, oh, woe is me, that whatever. I think she's truly having an internal struggle of, like, this is the life I have to live.
Yeah. And she was the one who made Tony give the 50K, I think that's her being like, God, $50,000 to our daughter's college. Like, what have I done? I think that's her confessing to a priest. That's where it started, the conversation in a confession booth.
Yeah. It's also like she doesn't have – it's either 50K to school or the sapphire ring. Like, I think she's starting to put together it's blood money, right? We've mentioned blood money. But, like, where can you put that blood money? 50K to the school. Like, I'm trying to do better with the money that we have, but, like, I feel so guilty about all the ways that we're choosing to make and spend.
To do it.
Yeah.
Right.
That's all wonderful. You women will just stand up for each other all the time. Yeah. Speaking of women, Gloria is either a lying sack of shit or there's a pretty big blooper. Okay. Chronologically.
Two really hard statements.
Wait,
hold on. Stop. Gloria says to Tony that the reason she went to meet Carmela was because she was mad about her tires being slashed. That happened after
Carmela. She said, wouldn't you want to meet the she's, yeah.
But one of the she's getting, you know, held against the wall with her throat. And she says, you know, I was mad about my tires being slashed. That hadn't happened yet. So either it's a blooper or she was lying.
Wait, that's not true. I think you have the timeline off.
I don't. I checked.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, that is. She's lying.
So she's either lying and just looking for reasons or it's a blooper. So. Now, in our last episode, we talked about where's the Russian? It's a plot hole. It's not a plot hole. Who gives a shit? Everyone talks about where's the fucking Russian. No one ever talks about who actually slashed Carmela's, Gloria's fucking tires. Mm. Why don't we ever talk about that?
Who slashed your tires?
Irina's
mentioned a lot of times in this episode, for the record, but I don't think it's Irina. Yeah.
No, I don't either.
I don't either.
Yeah, I think it's one of Gloria's seven relationships that she ruined.
Right. I think it's her ex, and they're blaming it on Tony, saying it's one of my exes, and I think it's one of Gloria's exes.
Or
it's the Russian.
Was it Gloria?
Or did she?
Okay, I had that thought too.
Yeah, because she comes out drunk and unable to, like, stand and hold a sentence, and then all of a sudden realizes that her car is tilted. Like, you're right. That's sus.
That's not a thing. Why but is that never did, talked about?
How
you're right.
I have a question. Tony was parked behind her, though. How did Tony not see the slashed tires on his way in?
Would you notice slashed tires?
I think they could have happened when they were inside the house.
But if Gloria was inside the house, how did she slash her own tires?
Yeah, that it pokes a hole in that. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's my little rant about that. And then I'll leave you with this.
It's a great question.
I mean, 2-hour episode. I figured I'd have at least one. I just will leave you on this. I think Sunshine was a fun character and I'm going to miss him.
All right. Me too.
Agreed.
And he doesn't come back in any dream sequences or any ghosts. Guys, he's done.
Cheers to Sunshine.
Cheers to Sunshine.
This has been So much fun. Becca, thank you so, so, so much for coming back and joining this party once again. Again, it was so much fun.
It is so much fun. I will say I host my own podcast with you every time I listen to an episode because I just talk back to you in my head. So it's really fun. I think I said that the last time I was on here too, but it is really fun to actually like be in the conversation and hear all of your smart thoughts and interesting probing questions.
We love having you here. You're amazing. Thank you to our listeners as well for analyzing Amor Fu with us. That's all from us for now. We'll talk to you.
Mofo.
That's all from us. That's all from us for now. Talk to you soon when we discuss the season 3 finale, The Army of One. This has been The Sibling Sit Down. Thanks for listening to The Sibling Sit Down. Please remember to like or follow the show on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. So you never forget about it.